So yesterday we were able to look at the book of Luke, chapter 2, and by that we were able to stop a bit on, you know, seeing what I will call the spiritual parents of Jesus. And I usually look at it that way on the basis that we see that there was this man, Simeon, who the Bible describes, he was a righteous and devout man, and who the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he will not die until he had seen the lost Christ. And the Bible says that he was waiting, you know, for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the Messiah. And the Bible describes to him that he was righteous and devout and full of the Holy Spirit, or rather the Holy Spirit was upon him. And we also were able to see that there was also this prophetess, or her name was Anna, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, who was old. She was advanced in years, and the Bible gives her age, that she was 84. And the Bible says that, you know, she had been married when she was a virgin, and we were assuming maybe she got married maybe around 20. She lived only 7 years with her husband, and then after that, she stayed unmarried, in that she dedicated her life to staying in the temple. She never left the temple. She kept worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And the Bible says that at the time when Jesus was brought to the temple on the eighth day, and this was a custom where they will bring a child, any child that was born will be dedicated to the Lord, and the parents will offer a sacrifice. That was their first fruits, which was a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. And once they will offer that, then the child will be named, and all other, you know, it was a custom for them to do that, and the circumcision for a child at 8 days. And you see, this gentleman and this lady, God has to ensure that they come and see what they have been praying for. Because the Bible says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Lord had told him that the Christ will come. I mean, he will not die until the Christ comes. My thinking was he must have been so old that the scriptures either did not see a need to tell us his age, but that tells me that the man stayed alive with the word of God, you know. And you can imagine that he kept on believing that word that God had promised to him, that no death will take him until he's able to see Christ and the Lord's Christ. And in that very moment, God brings him and enables him to see the Christ. And I can imagine how it must have been like a joy or a relief for him to just say, Lord, now you can let your servant live in peace, you know, depart in peace according to your word, because, you know, for now my eyes have seen your salvation, and that you are prepared in the presence of all people, who is it, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and also for the glory of your people Israel. So you can already see that for us to, for whatever it is that comes in the natural, it is birthed spiritually. And this is what we're able to see, that there is a revival process that comes forth before what we would desire to see come in the natural. And even in the times of the birth of Christ, God shows us that there are people who are expectant. There are people who are alive to what God was doing in that time. And likewise, we too, if there are things that God is going to do, you know, whether it's in the church, whether it's in our families, whether it's in our children, the Bible says that surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan first to his servants, the prophets. So there is a place of secret to God that God reveals to his servants, the prophets. And I will say, in our time, who are the prophets? It is us. The Bible says he'll pour out his spirit on all flesh, and your young men shall dream dreams, your old men shall see visions, and you know, your maid servants and your men servants, they shall prophesy. That means that when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us, the Holy Spirit, it gives us the ability to prophesy. And also the Bible himself tells, the scripture tells us that, you know, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what the Lord has prepared for those that have loved him and are called according to his purpose. And then the Bible says, but the Spirit of God has revealed it to us because he searches all things, you know, even the deep things of God, even the bottomless things of God. So we are in a time where revelation is available for us, or is availed for us, through the Spirit of God, and God has made it possible. And so what we see, and the principle that we're able to share, is that there's a place for spending time with God. There's a place for birthing things spiritually before they come in the natural. There is that place. And that it's not a place that where we take pride in, but it's a place where we are led by God. As you can see, it is something that God had already mentioned to them. It's those scripture that was there, those prophecy in the Word of God that they knew, in the scriptures that they had, that the Messiah will come. But then beyond that, that scripture had come alive in front of Rema, and God had revealed it to this man, Simeon, that he shall not die until he has seen the Lord's Christ. And for me also, what I see is just the beauty of God, that when such a thing that you've been praying for, something that you've been believing and waiting upon God, when the time is right, God will not allow you to miss it. Because in that very moment, when they were brought, you can imagine, I'm sure you were seeing so many children in the temple. Children will come in and out. But then God has to make sure that at that exact moment, when Jesus is brought to the temple, that God brings him, he sees the child, and he has a knowing. God reveals that this is the child that you are waiting to see. This is the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah, and now you can go in peace. So we also see that there are not only prophecies, there are confirmations that God was giving his people, those that were waiting for him, and as well also there were signs. Now, if we can just jump to Matthew chapter 2, and we also see the correlation, you know, because one, we see there are people who know God, who are depending on God, waiting on God, and trusting in him. But then on the other side, you know, one thing that, and why the scripture is always a blessing, is that it never hides truth. Because one of the things that we see is that what God is doing in our lives, you know, yes, the devil will never have a foreknowledge of it. He only sees what has happened, you know. And when we see the wise men from the east, the reality is these were not godly people, you know, and just because they followed the star and God showed them the star, it does not give, you know, an approval for, you know, for what people call astrology or the you know, the use of stars, you know, to see the future. And you know, there's so much use of that. What's your star? I mean, and how does, you know, what does the star tell us to do this time and all that? So it is not a biblical basis for that, but it is a truth that God, you know, because God established that he is the one that sets up the stars in the sky. And remember, the Bible in Genesis, it says that they will be for marks to you, for signs and seasons. You know, they will be for signs and seasons. And through that wisdom that God has put there, there are those who are using it, and either they use it to, you know, to see what destiny that God has placed in man. And I know you'll have had this issue of where people say their star was stolen and things like that. So in a way, in the underworld, there are some truths that there's some twisting of realities that they do, and they're able to see some signs that even when a child is born, they could see and say, no, this child is, there's something special about this person, and they start to, you know, to either do some things or do that. But that's not the place that we should look for that, but it is a place where we should be wise and where we should know that even though they might be able to see, we are still hidden in Christ, and our Christ is in God, and God gives us at times that opportunity to know that the enemy is attacking us or sending, you know, trying to oppress us, on the basis so that we know and we exercise our authority. It's just like the way they say armies that never fight are never strong enough. So there is a way that God allows the destroyer, and the Bible says he is the one who created the destroyer to work havoc. So the destroyer was also created by God. The devil was created by God. And it says that no weapon that is fashioned against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment thou shalt condemn. And he says this is the heritage, this is the inheritance, this is your right, your responsibility of the servants of God. So when the weapons form, because they will form, yes, but they shall not prosper. And when we see, you know, the visit of the wise men, remember the wise men of the East represented, for me, I link it to the time of Daniel. And remember in the East where the wise men of Babylon, they were not only astrologers, they were witches, they were wizards, they were enchanters, you know, they were all that. They were like what you call the wisdom, you know, the wisdom that kings lived by. But you see, when all matters of wisdom, when they were examined before the king, Daniel was found to be 10 times better, Daniel and his companions. And eventually Daniel comes the head, you know, becomes the head of that unit in that time. And why? Because with the wisdom that he had, I mean, with the revelation that God gave him, they classified him in their time as this is one who has the spirit of the gods in him. And so even, you know, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are being questioned, I don't think it was a place where even they will even bring Daniel to that conversation because of what he had already done and what he had revealed. And he was ahead. And for me, in my extrapolation, I link it that this same group of wise men, already Daniel had already even given them that, you know what, there is going to be a king of the Jews that will be born at some point, and then his star will come. And I think since they follow the stars, they were able to see that. But beyond that, for me, it also shows that God can use, you know, even the enemy and to be a blessing to you. And I think there's this story that he said of a woman who was on radio, and she was saying, you know, she's believing God to send her, you know, food for her children, and if that's how the story was. And then an atheist heard and then decided to, you know, to mock her God and send food, you know. And when the atheist brought the food at the door, and then she wanted to give her, and then the atheist wanted to ask her, do you want to know who brought you the food? And then she just said, I don't care, because when I pray to God, even the devil can answer. Or rather, the devil has to obey. So whether it's the devil who brought the food or someone who's an atheist or not, God also answers everything, and the devil even has to obey. And for me, this is one of those pictures where even that which is not of God, that wisdom that is not of God, God uses it to not only bring witnesses from the other side, witnesses from those who don't know him, that a Messiah has been born. And this comes also as a witness to Herod, you know, because if they never came, and you see, as they come, they go to, you know, they go to Herod, to the palace, because they expect that kings are born in the palace. But what historians tell us is that Herod was so obsessed with power that he had even killed his own family members because he felt that they would have been king. And even his own children, he had killed some of his children because he felt threatened, and he was already old. He was getting paranoid. But you see, God has to bring that to fulfill prophecy, because at the end of the day, what does Herod do? He orders for the killing of the children. He orders for the killing of children who are 2 years and below. And this is because of that prophecy. But beyond that also, which, you know, when we look at the Matthew chapter 2, is that we see that God also uses this wise man, uses this Magi to come and bless this family, in that as they come to worship the king, as they come to worship, and you see when verse 11 it says, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we say these are gifts worthy of a king. And, you know, you can think of the picture. The child was born in a manger, but then now they came to the home where Jesus was, but they were still in Bethlehem because at that point, you know, there was no room in the inn. But then they stayed on in Bethlehem a bit for the child to get stronger and all that. But then when they come in, they find them in the home and they offer gifts. And if you look at the three gifts, gold represents his kingship, what you give to a king. Frankincense represents his priesthood, in that is for worship. And then myrrh was also a preservative that was used for, you know, for to preserve bodies, and it speaks of his death. So they were already coming to prophesy that this will be a king. He will also be a priest. And remember, God makes us a kingdom of kings and priests, but also speaks of his death to come, his crucifixion that is to come. But for me, what I also look at it, I see how God knew that this family had to run to Egypt, and he brings provision for them. So God can use anything to provide for us as long as we are his children. It doesn't, you know, it's not that we are looking for wrong means for us, but if God uses anyone to bless us and to bring that wealth, and when he says the wealth of the sinners is laid up for the righteous, God is able to bless his children and is able to establish them, that they have resources that they need to fulfill his purpose. And you see, so when the time that they need to run to Egypt, look at it, they are not poor and they do not lack. Why? Because God provides for them. He provides gold, he provides frankincense, he provides myrrh, and they have more than enough. So God is very strategic, and we can see that there's nothing that he does without knowing what is happening. He provides, he makes a way, he reveals his plan to his servants, the prophets. And even though the enemy catches wind of it, God can still turn that for his own glory, because he is God and he is faithful. And eventually, so we see then, when now, and we'll be able to see that when we meet next, as God allows us, is that how now they have to run off to Egypt. And this also is in fulfillment of prophecy. And so for me, it's just the beauty of God, how he gives us his story. And I think possibly that will be part of the aspects of the last of the Christmas story. But I pray that even as God gives you a chance to reflect in this time, that you're able to keep marveling at what God has done and what God did in sending his son. And not only that it was for us. It was for us. Divinity took on humanity. And that was for divine exchange, that our humanity would be swallowed up and we will go back to God and be united with him. So I'll stop there, my sister, and you're welcome as God places in your heart.
Thank you very much for sharing. I remember one time at church we did a study of the hidden heroes of the Christmas story. A lot of people, like the people we often neglect when, you know, around the whole Christmas story. And of course, Simeon and Anna were one of the people that we identified. You know, most times there's a lot of noise around Mary, Joseph, Angel Gabriel, you know, the wise men. But the fact that these two, you call them the spiritual parents of Jesus,
That's what I call
it. In fact, that they paid the price in prayer. You see, that's very significant. So they really played a role in saying that, you know, our Savior came, and when he came, you prophesied to his life, and you know, and we really thank God for them. I'd also never made the connection, the possible connection between Daniel and the three wise men, but I think that's actually it's something that you can you know connect to it and see, because Daniel was someone that they said he understood by the books. So he must have studied, you know, about the prophecies about Jesus, and he knew, okay, this is something that was going to happen. And as a leader of the magicians and the wise men then, I think it's possible that he must have told them about this. They actually, you know, looked forward to this. Yeah. So the Christmas story is, you know, sometimes we look at it from the surface, or we just look at it from the angle we've always known it from as children. But there's still a lot to learn if you go through this study, you know, step by step. So thank you for sharing.
Amen. We thank God. And yeah, true, really forgotten heroes of Christmas, yeah, because we often miss that. And yeah, let's may God give us the grace to also be people that can birth revivals, birth moves of God in nations, in our homes, in our clans, in our, you know, in our villages, and in our spheres of influence, because that's the place where God wants us to be. And I always look at it, it's no accident there was a man, there was a woman, you know, like the union, the things that God does are so strategic, and that's the blessing of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for truth, that you always teach us truth. You always bring us to the place of understanding, the place to hear your word, and the place to reflect and meditate on the blessings that you do and what you're doing in our lives and what you've purposed to do for our futures, for our destinies. We commit them before you. Thank you for our families. The Lord, you graciously watch over them. You give them cover. You direct them. You watch over them. You protect them, O God. And I thank you for the blessings that you've given unto us in this year. Indeed, in 2024, it has been blessed of you. That Lord, there have been challenges here and there, but you have helped us push through. You have given us growth. You've given us understanding of the word, and you continue to do a new thing in our lives. We have seen increase, and even we thank you that, Lord, even for the coming year, that, Lord, you shall take us to deeper levels and deeper understanding and even a deeper walk with you, O God. We thank you for your people that have consistently been in your place of meditation and your place of hearing the word, that the word shall continue to bear fruit 30, 60, 100 times that which is sown, and we look unto you. Indeed, it is not by might, it's not by power, but it is by your spirit. Thank you that you continue to reveal unto us your will, your plan, your purposes for us. In all these things, we return glory back to you. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen. Shalom.
Amen.
And have a blessed, blessed day.